Welcome to the University of Limerick Research Impact podcast series. With me today is Dr. Micheál Scanlan, a researcher based at the Bernal Institute and lecturer in the Department of Chemical Sciences. Micheál is establishing a pioneering electrochemistry research group here at UL and is a recent recipient of a prestigious European Research Council starting grant. So Micheál, can you tell me a little bit more about electrochemistry and the problems you're looking to tackle with it?
The main problem that we're going to tackle is we want to develop a new approach to solar energy conversion. So what solar energy conversion means is that you take the energy in sunlight and you can either directly convert it to electricity, or perhaps you could store that energy in the form of a chemical bond. So an example of a chemical bond would be hydrogen gas. So you have two protons and they're linked together with a bond. Or you could make a liquid like hydrogen peroxide. So this is what happens in plants. Plants have leaves, and on those leaves you have cells. And in those cells you have a membrane. So the membrane is like a bag. It contains all of the organelles of the plant cell. And on that membrane, there are special molecules called chlorophyll molecules. Now those chlorophyll molecules are special because they can absorb the energy from light. And then the plant can use that energy and store it in the form of a chemical bond. So it makes sugars like glucose. So this is what we want to do. We want to mimic what the plant is doing in the leaf. We want to make our own membrane-like interfaces. So these membrane-like interfaces will be formed between a water and an oil phase. Now our oil is special. It's really, really hydrophobic. So what that means is that it hates water. It will not mix with water. So where the oil and the water meet, you create an interface. And this is our membrane-like interface. So in a plant, the oil part is a phospholipid. And a lipid means oil. So that's why we use oil. We're going to coat this membrane-like interface in a dye molecule. And it's a very similar molecule to chlorophyll. So it's really similar again to what's happening in a plant. And what's exciting about this approach to solar energy conversion is that we're using a liquid interface. So that means it's going to be self-healing. Liquids are dynamic, they move. So if you damage them, we can either apply a little bit of electricity ourselves, or we just shake the system and it should reform in its original way. So this means that we could have a solar cell that is very easily healed when it's damaged. Now, traditional solar cells are made with solid materials. Solid materials do not move, and therefore, if they're damaged, they stay damaged.
It's really fascinating how you're taking learnings from nature and applying it to one of the global challenges that we have around energy, which everybody is aware of. But I suppose, could you give us a sense of how big that challenge is?
The challenge is immense. I would say humanity's greatest challenge this century. So at the moment, we derive all of our energy mainly from burning fossil fuels. So we generate electricity by burning fossil fuels and we use them to power our vehicles for transport. We're releasing CO2 constantly during this process. The CO2 is heating up the atmosphere through the global greenhouse effect, and we've no idea how that's going to change our weather patterns especially. And it could cause long-term permanent damage to our ecosystems and the way in which we live our lives. So I think that it's critical that as a species, we develop sustainable approaches to energy generation. This could be solar, it could be tidal, it could be wind. It could be other things that I haven't mentioned, but mainly I'm most interested in the solar approach at the moment. And I believe that all approaches to solve solar energy conversion need to be taken. So at the moment, there's huge research in this area. There are many groups worldwide studying what I would call the traditional approaches to solar energy conversion. They use silicon solar cells, or they use disynthesized solar cells. So this is great. They're making incremental improvements the whole time, maybe one little percentage improvement per year, and they are heading towards real commercial devices. However, there are enough people doing that. I think it's more exciting to take a completely new approach where the boundaries are unknown. And that's what my project's about. I want to take a completely new approach, and we want to see how far can we push it. Can we get 20% efficiency immediately? So a step change, a real paradigm change? Or will we discover something along the way that actually is limiting our system that we couldn't have envisioned originally at the beginning of the project. And that's what research is. It's discovering how far can we push the boundaries in a new topic.
It could be a game changer for energy solutions. And I suppose the potential impact is huge. Could you, I know you've talked about it a little bit more there, but could you elaborate? Are there other areas that this could have an impact outside of solar energy?
Yes, definitely. So the molecule that we're using is known as the porphyrin molecule. And this is what you could say is a hot topic in science at the moment. Porphyrin molecules are, first of all, colorful. And because they're colorful, it means that we can use them in sensor devices. So sensor devices, you can create a sensor if something changes when a molecule sticks to it. So for example, these colorful molecules, the porphyrins, will actually change color when a molecule of interest sticks to them. So that means we can use them in sensors. Now also, because they can absorb energy from light, they create a species known as singlet oxygen. This is a very toxic species to bacteria and microbes, but it's only generated in an absolutely tiny region above the molecule, so 1 nanometer, so a billionth of a meter. So this means that if we can coat surfaces in these molecules, then we will create antibacterial or antimicrobial surfaces. When light shines on the surface with the molecule on top of it, in an incredibly tiny layer above that surface, you will create this singlet oxygen species, which will kill any bacteria. So to make our solar cell, we need to develop methodologies to create these films of porphyrins, and it'll be great for our solar cell, but you can see immediate sensor work or antibacterial, antimicrobial coating technology also coming out of the project.
So Michal, could you give me some more practical examples of the potential impact your research has?
From the point of view of the antibacterial, antimicrobial coatings, I could envision them coating the surfaces of everything in a hospital. You'd have the surgical wards coated in these films, and you'd have the curtains in the rooms in the hospital coated. And when light hits them, they will kill all of the bacteria and the microbes on them. So they're effectively self-cleaning. Also, with regard to the solar cells, hopefully I'll see them on the roof one day of some building.
Potentially, what would they look like in comparison to other solar cells?
At the moment, we're looking at bulk liquids, what I would call a bat. So it's almost self-assembling system. You pour two liquids in, and in a perfect world, we'll apply a little bit of electricity at the beginning, and the solar cell will almost create itself. It will self-assemble. That probably is not so practical. I don't think anybody wants a big, huge bat of chemicals on the roof. So down the line, especially for the solar fuel application, I'd be very excited to have a tube that is colorless, so it's see-through, and in it, you have a mixture of the oil and the water. And it's mixed up. It doesn't need to be perfectly still. And it's flowing along these tubes, just like at the moment where you have solar farms, you could call them, where solar cells are spreading out into the land. You'd have tubes instead with liquids flowing through them. And they can be in a vertical configuration or flat on the ground once light can hit them. And they're doing the photochemistry. And probably hydrogen gas is being released. And every now and then, you'll have an outlet for the hydrogen gas to pop out and you collect it. And in these tubes, you just have your biphasic system, so the water and oil flowing around, and you collect the solar fuel.
So you have a very exciting time ahead of you, Michal. I suppose the future is very bright for electrochemistry. And where do you see going from here?
Well, we're really at the beginning now. So the project is a 5-year project. It started 3 weeks ago. So immediately, I need to hire a team. So I'm really looking for the best people possible in a number of areas. So to succeed in the project, I need to hire electrochemists like myself, but I'll also need to find people interested in studying the colors of the molecules, so they're spectroscopists. And also, we'll create some materials during the project, so I'll also need to work with some people who are good at microscopy, imaging the materials that we create. So I'm very much looking forward to that. It's going to be a multidisciplinary project, and we're going to, as I say, push the boundaries with it. So the future would be to initially do fundamental research. So we really need to find out about a process known as photo-induced electron transfer. And if we can learn about that process, then we can, first of all, gain an insight into what's happening in a plant, in natural photosynthesis, but also what we learn could be applied to other people's solar cells using the traditional approaches.
So what drives you? What gets you up in the morning to go and do this kind of work?
When I finished my degree at University College Cork, I began a PhD at the Tyndall National Institute, and I loved it. It was just fun. You're researching in the lab, and your days are constantly different. I really love learning. I'm not afraid of learning. I really like doing experiments. So between the two, you have a very mixed week. You can be reading, you can be learning, and then you can apply what you learn actually in the lab. And you're working with like-minded people. Everybody is excited to learn and to push the boundaries of whatever they're researching. So I love that. Also, now that I'm a little bit older and I'm moving out of the lab, I'm learning about management, because I'm going to have to run now quite a large team. There'll be more than 10 of us within 1 year in the group. So that's new. That's exciting for me to learn this new skill. And the third thing I'll have to do will be I'll become a lecturer here now at University of Limerick. So I'll get to interact with younger people and to try and inspire them. So between the three, between management, teaching, science, it's an exciting job. I love it.
You've been listening to Dr. Micheál Scanlon of the Bernal Institute and the Department of Chemical Sciences at the University of Limerick. This research is funded by a European Research Council starting grant, while preliminary data was obtained through funding from a Science Foundation Ireland starting investigator grant. If you'd like to find out more about Research Impact, go to our website, ul.ie/researchimpact, or if you're interested in Dr. Scanlon's research, go to bernalinstitute.com.